The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
We've just confirmed the first death in the United States due to the Omicron variant in Texas.
On Monday, Texas reported the country's first known Omicron death, a man in his 50s who was not vaccinated.
We can't confirm that the patient died from COVID, but we can say that he was Omicron positive at the time of his death.
So he died with COVID, but you can't say that he died from COVID.
Correct. This information comes from our epidemiologists, who are the ones who get the reports. They have to do a very meticulous investigation because, you know, they do take this very much at heart. They're telling me that they cannot say that that COVID was the absolute cause of death.
So CNN confirmed it. They've confirmed that the first Omicron death. And then some guy calls the county health official, and they don't even confirm it. They say, well, we can confirm that he died with COVID, but we can't necessarily say it was because of COVID. So here we go again. Death with COVID. You can't get these people to report on one vaccine death. Not one. And there's been more than 20,000 reported in the United States. But they ignore this, and when there's one Omicron death, CNN can confirm, and then some guy pretty much debunks it in a few seconds. Unbelievable. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of the show on CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. And of course, the video presentation, the video stream of this show is provided exclusively at our very own website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live, and you get to the live stream, and you get to the podcast posted after the fact. Lots to get to on today's show. We certainly appreciate Richard Palmer subbing in yesterday. Got a nice email following his show saying, quite simply, Richard Palmer is awesome. He is awesome, and we're certainly grateful to have him on the team. He subs in, as most of you know, from time to time, but every day he is supplying me with a pretty good-sized stack of news items. We've got quite the news-gathering team on both sides of the pond in our Edstone office and also here at our headquarters facility, so we certainly appreciate all of the news-gatherers that help to put this program together every single day. It truly is a team effort. Richard yesterday was talking about Russia, how that Russia is on the move, and here it's amassing all of these forces at Ukraine's border. And I think somebody mentioned how that they advanced on Crimea right around the holiday period several years ago. So here they go again. And Richard was right on top of this story. He also commented on Russia working together with Germany on the Nord Stream 2 project and how that Angela Merkel said that basically she was helpless to stop the construction of this project because of the business community in Germany. And my father touched on this, by the way, over the weekend on his Key of David program. That's Germany going underground. If you didn't view that Key of David, I would suggest that you go to the website. It's the latest show that he's done. So history, of course, teaches us that when Germany and Russia come together, well, you can be sure that that's a bad sign, not just for Europe, but for the rest of the world. So coming back to this, this scaremongering nonstop, I mean, we're about to go into our third year of COVID. Of all of these restrictions, all of these mandates, all of our freedoms, just being taken away, one right after the other. And you see people, you see members of this vaccine cult. They're on both sides of the aisle. Listen to Donald Trump. This was from an interview with Candace Owens just yesterday, I believe, clip two.
The vaccine is one of the greatest achievements of mankind. We would have had a 1917, remember the Spanish flu, killed perhaps 100 million people thing. I came up with a vaccine, with three vaccines. Mm. All are very, very good. Came up with three of them in less than 9 months. It was supposed to take 5 to 12 years.
And yeah, people have died under COVID this year, by the way, yeah, under Joe Biden, right, than under you. And more people took the vaccine this year. So people are questioning how.
Well, no, the vaccine worked, but yeah, some people aren't taking it. The ones that get very sick and go to the hospital are the ones that don't take the vaccine. But it's still their choice. And if you take the vaccine, you're protected. Look, the results of the vaccine are very good. And if you do get it, it's a very minor form. People aren't dying when they take the vaccine.
There's Donald Trump sounding exactly like Joe Biden, shockingly. And Biden even complimented him, praised him the other night. Because on this, they agree. And it's like that, as I say, right across the country with top officials, the elites, the ruling class, certainly everyone in the media, just a very, very few. But there he is basically saying the vaccine's perfect. The greatest achievement of mankind? Seriously? This? We're now into the fourth jab? Daily Mail has a piece today, a jab every 6 months? You know, there's people that say, oh, these anti-vaxxers, if it was their thinking that ruled the day decades ago, we never would have eradicated polio, or we never would have gotten rid of this disease. As if you have to take four jabs a year to stave off polio. You know, it used to be, not so long ago, you take the vaccine and then that's it. It's good for life. Not so with this one. It's not even a vaccine, is it? Of course it isn't. Four jabs and now another one, a booster every 6 months. They believe it really is a cult. It's a religion. The greatest achievement in mankind's history. He says people aren't dying when they take the vaccine. They search far and wide for one Omicron death, and they won't tell you anything about the adverse reactions to the vaccine. CDC says it's up to 20,244 deaths as a result of the vaccine. We can confirm 20,244 deaths. Not one, not three, not five, not 10. 20,244. According to the CDC, 106,000 urgent care, 33,675 permanently disabled because of the vaccine. 33,675 Americans. We can confirm that 33,675 Americans have been permanently disabled because of the vaccine. That's according to the CDC. The CDC website, the VAERS page on the CDC website. It's buried deep, deep beneath a lot of other material, a lot of other facts, a lot of other information, but it's there. It's there. Can CNN confirm this? Yes, it can, if it wanted to. Can a lot of other news outlets, can they confirm this? Yes, they can. Will they? No, of course not. They've got one Omicron death in a county of Texas. And then some guy just calls up the county officials. Is this true? Well, we can't really confirm that it's because of COVID. Oh, okay. Listen to Joe Biden from his interview, one of about two he's had all year, just last night, clip three.
Let me ask you about what we heard from Israel overnight. They're already moving forward with a second booster now. So this would be the fourth shot for people 60 and older and for frontline medical workers. Is that something you're considering?
I listen to the scientists. And I'm sure the scientists are paying very close attention to that. There may be a need for another booster, but that remains to be seen.
So it remains a possibility.
It remains a possibility.
A possibility, the fourth jab. So it just came out 12 months ago. Now we're into four jab territory. And then one every 6 months. Probably 6 months. Probably that could come down to 4 months. Three, four months. Because we gotta stave it. It's just like polio. So jab for the rest of your life with this experimental gene therapy. Just jab away. You gotta do it. It's the greatest achievement in mankind's history. So they say. The UK is that there. Israel was mentioned in that clip. The UK is getting ready to roll out the fourth jab. Got to do it because COVID's still with us. Neil Ferguson, the one who got a lot of this started, year and a half, 2 years ago, with all of his scaremongering models that turned out to be completely bogus. He said not that long ago that in the UK, 5,000 people, 5,000 would be dying every week because of Omicron. The Daily Mail says his team at Imperial College London found that overall Britons who catch Omicron are between 15 and 20% less likely to be admitted than those who got Delta. So now he's revising the numbers a couple weeks in because he looks like a fool. Because South Africa is telling us this is mild. This is like a cold. This is basically a mild, mild flu. Don't have hospitalizations. People aren't dying from it. And yet it was just about 2 seconds ago when Ferguson said 5,000 deaths per week. And then CNN, when they find one, we've confirmed. You see how the media are manipulating these facts and figures, these stories? You see the exaggeration? You see the scaremongering? You see the lies? The Daily Skeptic says triple vaccinated, more than four times as likely to test positive for Omicron. So it's a mild flu. And who's getting it? The ones who are vaccinated. And yet Biden and company, they come out and say, no, it's the unvaccinated. They're, even as you hear, what, like I said yesterday or the day before, even as you have one story after another, yeah, triple jab, got the COVID, got the booster, and then got COVID. Jab, jab, booster, COVID, COVID, COVID. Daily Skeptic says here, well, the facts that it gives, it's four. If you're triple vaxxed, you're 4.5 times more likely to test positive for Omicron. It's the vaccinated that are keeping these variants alive. That's the truth. You say it, though, and you're censored. You're deleted from YouTube, from Google. The Daily Skeptic says, it does mean, though, that the current Omicron outbreak is largely an epidemic of the vaccinated and is being driven not by the unvaccinated, but by those who have been double and triple jabbed, combined with the fact that Omicron has quickly grown to be the majority of new infections, it suggests the vaccinated are playing an outsized role in the current outbreak. That's the truth. They're the ones fueling the fire and then trying to scare you to death in the process. But leaving aside who's to blame or who's the one that's causing it to spread, look at the disease itself. Look at the hospitals. They're not filling up. Look at the deaths. They have to search far and wide to find someone who dies with Omicron. And then, like Jesse Waters said this week, you don't have to listen to Fauci on this one. You've got actual data, scientific data coming out from South Africa, which was where this variant first appeared. Here's Jesse Waters, clip four.
Thankfully, we have data from South Africa, where Omicron was first discovered. So we don't have to listen to Anthony Fauci. According to a brand new study from that country, Omicron has an 80% lower risk of hospitalization than past COVID variants. South Africa's hospitalization rate even fell by 91% during the Omicron wave. And less than 2% of all COVID positive South Africans were hospitalized. That's compared to 19% of COVID-positive South Africans who were hospitalized in the third Delta variant wave. Health officials in South Africa also added that the low hospitalization number is also inflated, because even mild COVID cases are now being admitted to hospitals since they have the capacity that they didn't have before.
A little bit of truth there that quite a few in the propaganda media are not interested in reporting. There's this graphic making the rounds on social media, the top five Omicron symptoms. You've got runny nose, headache, fatigue. I had that last night. You might have had it last night. Fatigue and then sneezing and snore throat. In other words, a cold or a mild flu. And people are mocking this right and left, as they should be. Again, sickness and disease, it's not normal. And we do need to be talking about our, like Aaron Rodgers has said, we need to be talking about just physical health and fitness, diet, exercise, that sort of thing. You get none of that. And then this. Some of the memes going around on social media comparing our generation cowering in fear because of fatigue, because of a runny nose. Comparing our generation to, let's say, the World War II generation. You know, the Americans that stormed the beaches of Normandy in 1944, knowing that they were going to be mowed down, knowing that they were going to die, many of them, within seconds of getting off those landing crafts. And here we are, double, triple, quadruple jab. Mask, double mask, testing, mass testing. We've got to get 500 rapid fire tests out to all of America here in just the next couple weeks. This is insanity. People have just lost their minds. The Spectator recently made a point that I believe Joel Hilliker made recently. Richard was saying that this morning in the news gathering stage of this. The Spectator says, the media want you to believe that everyone around you is scared out of his mind, and thus you should be too. Man on the Street interviews, quote, nervous Nellies exclusively. A December 17 New York Times article headlined as virus cases surge. New Yorkers feel a familiar anxiety. Trotted out a parade of paralyzed city residents. It's no problem to find them. Just find the ones who are terrified because of what they're saying on MSNBC, and then just play it on a continuous loop. It says, it is not a coincidence that these sources are all female, since females have been the driving force behind safetyism's conquest of American public policy and of the American mind. Their dominance in corporate HR departments helps explain the constant deferral of back-to-work plans and the restrictions that dominate what little remains of office life. It's Isaiah 3. Where are the men? Where are the men to come along? The real men, I mean. The leaders. The men of courage. The men of faith. To step up and say, enough. Enough with this. Well, you don't see them. You don't hear them. You don't read from them today. All of them are right on board with the cult. The greatest achievement in mankind's history. Wow. This drug that was never really tested, just rushed out in 9 months' time. And now you've got all these adverse reactions. And then people that get up and say, the vaccine is perfect. There's no side effects. And no one has died. No one has died from the drugs, even as they search far and wide to find one. We've just got to find an Omicron victim. There's got to be a victim out there somewhere. We can confirm, says CNN. Can you? Can you confirm it? Did you call the county in Texas? Did you call the health officials in that county in Texas? Did you ask them? Did this guy die of Omicron? Well, the health official evidently says we can't confirm that, but he did die with Omicron. Yes, indeed. He died with the virus. The Wall Street Journal editorial board, you've heard of these emails from Fauci and others that are being released piecemeal because of a Freedom of Information Act. So revealing. These top doctors of the United States of America and how they're concerned not about public health, they're concerned about narratives. Narratives, that's it. This is from the Wall Street Journal editorial board. In October 2020, the Great Barring Declaration was published. So this goes back a year ago, a little over a year ago. It was published and signed by thousands of doctors around the world who agreed that lockdowns were destructive and COVID policies should focus on protecting the vulnerable. Dr. Collins, now this is Fauci's boss. He's about to retire. But this is the Wall Street Journal saying Collins immediately emailed Fauci. This proposal from the three fringe epidemiologists seems to be getting a lot of attention, Collins wrote to Fauci. And even the co-signature from Nobel Prize winner Mike Levitt at Stanford. There needs to be a quick and devastating published takedown of its premises, Dr. Collins wrote. Is it underway? Fauci, do you have something underway? I mean, we've got a Nobel Prize winner here. We've got these other three doctors. We've got all of these doctors that have signed on to it. Thousands. You've got to debunk this right away because they're saying that lockdowns shouldn't be happening. They're saying all these restrictions. It's not good that we should be focusing just on the vulnerable. That's common sense, right? Not to Dr. Collins. Not to Anthony Fauci. So Fauci springs into action. Oh, yes. This is the Wall Street Journal. In public, Anthony Fauci and Francis Collins urge Americans to follow the science. In private, the two sainted public health officials schemed to quash dissenting views from top scientists. That's the troubling but fair conclusion from emails obtained recently via the Freedom of Information Act by the American Institute of Economic Research. The Wall Street Journal editorial board says, rather than try to manipulate public opinion, the job of health officials is to offer their best scientific advice. They shouldn't act like politicians or censors, and when they do, they squander the public's trust. See, all that these top doctors are concerned about is the narrative, and really they're motivated by a spirit of will worship. We've got all of these doctors signing up over here saying that lockdowns are harmful. I hope you've got something prepared to devastate that report, says Collins. And Fauci responds saying, yeah, we're right on this. We're on it. We'll get it done. Don't you worry. Fauci and Collins, one of the doctors was a Nobel Prize winner. But see, his opinion doesn't matter. He's not science because he disagrees with Fauci. Fauci is science. He said so. So he goes on and on about science. We're following the science. When Biden says, hey, fourth jab, we're going to follow the science, which means as soon as Fauci says go with it, then I'll say get the fourth jab, get another booster. This is science falsely so-called. This is will worship. There's another story here from CNN about this Harvard professor. It's not directly related to the COVID, but again, quite revealing. CNN says Dr. Charles Lieber, 62, the former chair of Harvard's Chemistry and Chemical Biology Department. I mean, this is the top dog of the department at Harvard. He was found guilty of two counts of making false statements to federal authorities, two counts of making and subscribing a false income tax return, and two counts of failing to file reports of foreign bank and financial accounts with the IRS. So what's this guy involved in? This top position at Harvard's Chemistry and Chemical Biology Department. It says the jury found that Lieber had lied about his affiliation with the Wuhan University of Technology in China and a contract he had with the Chinese talent recruitment plan to attract high-level scientists to the country. He was being paid $50,000 per month by the Chinese university and given $1.5 million to establish a nanoscience research lab at WUT, the Justice Department said in a news release. So he's caught red-handed. He's on the take from China, from the CCP, just like the Biden family was in the lead-up to the fake president last year. Hunter, Joe Biden, the brother, I forget his name, all of them on the take, years, even while Joe Biden was vice president. Here's a top official, a health official at Harvard. He's getting $50,000 a month from China, from the CCP. How many more are on the dole? How many more are on the take? How many more get these months? We've seen in the Biden family, and in this case, China's quite happy to pay top price, top dollar, if they can get people to carry on their communist agenda. There was a story about Amazon. This is from the Times over in London. Amazon quietly removed criticism of President Xi's books by scrubbing bad reviews, ratings, and comments from its Chinese site. It has emerged. Listen to this. The U.S. retail giant, this is Jeff Bezos, Amazon, the retail giant, to Beijing's demand, agreed to Beijing's demand to have anything below a five-star review of Xi Jinping's book, The Governance of China, removed. You can't make this up. If it's not a five-star, says Xi Jinping, then you take it off your website. And Jeff Bezos quite quickly says, yes, sir, whatever you say, whatever you say. Meanwhile, over here, if you even get into one vaccine death, Amazon, Google, YouTube, these Twitter, they've got the police ready to blot you out. And is there any doubt about the communist infiltration of our nation, the United States of America? There's a chapter in He Was Right, Herbert Armstrong writing about this, talking about this as far back as the 1940s and 50s. I mean, spot on. Tomorrow's news today. That's right. If you haven't subscribed to the Trumpet magazine, call our operators and subscribe so that you can keep ahead of the headlines. 1-866-930-3024. Someone sent me a graphic the other day. I think it was from Tucker Carlson's show, where the Chiron down below said, jab or else. That's the Trumpet headline from months ago. Jab or else. A little bit of tomorrow's news today. Make sure that if you haven't subscribed yet to the Trumpet, that you call our operators and get your free subscription today. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. You can also email the show if you want to give some feedback. Hopefully today we'll have some time to get through a few emails at the end of the show. The email address, td@thetrumpet.com. That's td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
Education is something most people take for granted. We assume it is something one acquires after graduating from a college or university. Yet the 20th century knowledge explosion has done little to solve the problems of this world. Crime, broken families, suicide, disease, mass illiteracy, and poverty. Why, in a world filled with so much advanced material knowledge, are there so many unsolvable problems? Why, after 6,000 years, has mankind been unable to find the solution to its escalating evils or to the number one problem it now faces, that of human survival? Our free booklet, Education with Vision, will show you what is wrong with education today. It will show you what is true education with vision and how to achieve it. Request your free copy of Education with Vision at our website, thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
A couple more sound bites I think that we can squeeze in here before we transition over to our Bible study. This was Steve Hilton on his show Sunday night on Fox, clip 7.
regime. In fact, when you look at the metastasizing number of major failures, you inevitably come to the conclusion that this whole Biden thing, you know, let's rig the Democrat primary to keep Bernie out by putting in a totally talentless, completely corrupt, obviously senile machine politician. This whole Biden thing is a total failure.
Just thought that was interesting. He talks in passing about the Democrats rigging the primary. They had to shut out Bernie Sanders, remember? So they had to rig it. They rigged it. They rigged it twice. 2016, then again in 2020. Because Barack Obama, he wanted Biden in this time around. So they just shoved Bernie Sanders aside. They rigged that, but they certainly wouldn't rig the presidential election. Of course not. Of course, that was perfect. Open your eyes. Open your eyes to the truth. The truth is what sets us free. Boy, the lies and the deception, they're all around. This is a conservative commentator, Hugh Hewitt. Listen, I forget where this politician is from, but this is someone that clearly believes that the election was stolen, and he gets pushback from the conservative. Clip 8.
I do not believe he won. I think Trump won. I think Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia, all of those states need to be fully investigated, and none of them have. It's the Democrats are fighting it tooth and nail, and my question is, if you're afraid of investigation, if you're afraid of transparency, what do you have to hide? Like, what is it that you have to hide?
Josh, so, there is no evidence for that that has been adduced.
And let's investigate it.
That's someone running for office by the name of Josh Mandel. He's on with Hugh Hewitt, and Hugh Hewitt's saying there's no evidence, no evidence, sounding exactly like Joe Scarborough. It's astounding how many people's, they have their heads just buried firmly in the sand. No evidence. No evidence. Can you believe this? Well, Tuesday on the program, toward the end, I talked about the Spirit of God and how much work it takes to really stir it up. I mean, the power comes from God. It's not ours, but we really have to go after it. We have, like Paul said to Timothy, stir up that Spirit of God. That's 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6. And when you understand how the Spirit of God works in your life, then you know how important prayer, effectual fervent prayer, and diligent Berean-like Bible study, you know how important and crucial those spiritual tools are. Same with meditation, same with Christian fellowship, same with occasional fasting. We need that in order to stir up God's power. Otherwise, we lose it. God's Spirit has to be actively used. It has to be exercised. It has to be stirred. Or else, it, as I said last time, it can be quenched. I gave you this quote from a Good News magazine, February 1983, where it says, "You might be imbued with this power, the power of God's Spirit. You might be imbued with it yesterday and depleted of it today." That verse I gave to you in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19, where it says, "Quench not the Spirit." I mentioned the one in Ephesians 4 and verse 30, where it says, "Grieve not the Spirit." Don't quench the Spirit. Don't extinguish it. Don't suppress it. Don't grieve the Spirit. Don't distress the Spirit of God. Use it. Stir it up. Be led by it. Be filled with it. Ask God for more of it. Luke 11 and verse 13. We don't want to forget to ask for that. Every day. Assuming you've gone through the process leading up to baptism and the receipt of God's Holy Spirit. But even if you haven't yet received it, our children, for example, they grow up in God's family. They're not yet baptized until they're of age, until they've reached a level of maturity and they've gone through counseling and so on. They know what they're getting into. They've counted the cost, and then they receive the Spirit of God after baptism and the laying on of hands and the prayer of faith. But even before that, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7 that they're set apart and holy. They're holy children because of the believing parents or believing parent in the case of one who's converted. And if they're brought up like Timothy, you can read in that example in 2 Timothy 1 where Paul really praises Timothy's mother and grandmother because they were women of faith. They were women who taught their son and their grandson about the truth. And it wasn't easy for them. Timothy's father wasn't converted. But these were remarkable women. And Timothy knew the scriptures, even as a little child. And he certainly was, in that sense, walking in the Spirit, even if he didn't receive the Spirit of God until he was converted. But our children really are set apart. They do have access to God's truth. And if they're praying and studying, God will dwell with them. He'll guide their lives. Hebrews 5 and verse 12, it says here, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need," Paul says, "that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." It says here, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." They should have been teachers by this point, but Paul had to go back and give them the milk of the word. They should have been dining on fine steak, strong meat. But they couldn't because they were too immature spiritually. That supply of God's Spirit was suppressed, diminished. They were grieving the Spirit. To quote what Paul said in Ephesians 4, we ought to be teachers, Paul says. In the Hebrews booklet, my father wrote this, God really does expect his people to learn to teach. He expects us to deeply study the Bible. And he knows it, or rather, and know it, and master it, to know the very mind of God so that we can teach us, so that we can teach it, I should say. We've got to really have a hunger, like Jesus said in Matthew 5, a hunger for righteousness, a hunger for God's truth. We've got to be seekers of the kingdom and God's righteousness. God didn't call us, those of us in God's church, so that we might be just saved ahead of the rest. He called us to prepare us for our future, to train us to teach. He called us to support the work. I've covered this recently on a program as well. Why we're called now as opposed to later. We've got to really grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've got to, like my father was saying at our youth camp this past summer, he told the teenagers in God's church, he said, "You've got to grow up fast. Spiritually speaking, you've got to be like a 12-year-old Jesus Christ." In the Hebrews booklet, it says, "It is because God has called us to be teachers that he has given the Philadelphia Church of God two college campuses. What powerful reassurance that this is our eternal future. God's church and his people are focused on teaching." Our whole focus, you see, is on stirring up the Spirit of God and preparing for our role as teachers in the wonderful world tomorrow, assisting Jesus Christ as his helpmeet. We've got to prepare for a calling as magnificent as that. We've got to prepare for our role as the bride of Jesus Christ. We've got to prepare for our career in God's kingdom, God's family. Verse 14 here in Hebrews 5, it says, "But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." We've got to exercise those senses. We've got to practice God's way of life. We've got to put it into practice. We've got to live it. That phrase there, of full age, you can look into the margin in the King James Bible. And it says perfect. So that's the goal or the objective, Matthew 5:48, to become perfect. So you get some insight here into why God, well, you get some insight into why we need the Spirit of God. Upon repentance, faith, baptism, the receipt of the Holy Spirit, we need the Spirit of God to overcome the devil, to mortify the deeds of the flesh, as it says in Romans 6. We need the Spirit of God to be empowered. We need God's Spirit to live His way of love, an unselfish, outflowing concern toward others. The goal is perfection, Matthew 5:48. And just to give you a few scriptures, you can look at these later. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 6 says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Paul said, you know, what I speak, the world doesn't consider it to be wisdom. They consider the truth of God to be foolish. But to the perfect understand. That's how God sees His family. That's how God views the bride of Christ. He sees what we are becoming. Ephesians 4 and verse 13 speaks about developing into that perfect man. So when God says, look, I've brought you into this to train you to be teachers, we've got to set our sights on that goal of perfection. And we certainly need God's Spirit to become perfect. We certainly need God's Spirit to lead us into God's family, God's kingdom. One commentary says here, the meaning is that by long use, this is about exercising the senses from that section in Hebrews 5. The meaning is that by long use and habit, they have arrived to that state in which they could appreciate the more elevated doctrines of Christianity. See, they've grown and they've developed over the years. So again, when you understand how the Spirit of God works in your life, then you know why prayer, you know why Bible study and regular fasting and meditation and Christian fellowship, you know why they're so essential. God's Spirit, once it flows into our lives, after repentance and belief and baptism, it's something that must be used and stirred and exercised, or else we will lose it. In The Missing Dimension in Sex, this is Herbert Armstrong. He says here, even the unconverted person who has not received the Holy Spirit to dwell with the human spirit has the mind power to discern the difference between good and evil uses of the human five senses, their selfish gratification or wholesome enjoyments. I mean, you do see, it's becoming more and more rare, but you do see some people today, successful businessmen, some conservative commentators that abide by certain standards of conduct with respect to their career or maybe their family. And they may not even know the truth of God. They don't have the Spirit of God, but they do have a mind, a God-given mind. And sometimes you see some pretty remarkable examples of people in this world that have some self-discipline, some drive, some ambition. But how much more so should those of us in God's church, being led by the Spirit of God, how much more so should we have our lives, our families, organized according to definite laws from God revealed to us in Scripture? We have the laws of God. We have the knowledge of God. We've had our minds open to the truth. We can't just come into the church and then say, well, I need to get baptized, and then, well, I can just be the same old way I've always been. I mean, I can't put away this old habit. I've had this habit for years and years and years, this bad habit. No, God actually says, no, look, I'm providing the power, the godly power that you need to put away sin, to mortify the deeds of the flesh, to kill it off, to crucify that old man. Notice Well, this is from Missing Dimension and Sex again. It says, God intended to bestow upon us humans the pleasures and delights of wholesome and right uses and enjoyments, and right enjoyments that are beneficial and lasting, gravitate in the direction of giving, and destructive and, to us humans, non-beneficial uses stem from motives of getting, lust, covetousness, vanity, self-indulgence. Notice, just to back up here, notice what it says about Jesus Christ, verse 7. It says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. I mean, this was the way Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, this is the way he approached his prayer life. He knew that he couldn't commit one sin. He knew that if he committed one sin, that was it. Not just for him, but for all of mankind. So he was totally, totally dependent on God and the power of God's Spirit. So he offered up strong crying and tears, prayers to God. He needed help. He needed power from God. It says in John 5 and verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. I mean, if Jesus said that, where does that leave us? Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. Nothing. Do we need the power of God? Do we need the Spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind? We can't live without it. We can't serve God without it. We can't help Jesus Christ without it. We can't overcome and grow without it. We can't attain perfection without the Spirit of God. Verse 8, it says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, verse 9 says, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So as the Word, he was perfect in his obedience, his submission to God, and then he came in the flesh. He came in the flesh as Jesus Christ, and he learned how to yield to God as a human being. And in so doing, he set a perfect example for us. 1 Peter 2:21, God says, follow in his steps. Notice Hebrews 4, just a few more verses in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. It says here, seeing then that we have a great high priest, that would be Jesus, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. In all points of the law, he was tempted. And yet he resisted against those temptations. He never, never, never submitted to sinful acts. Never. He didn't sin once. And in the end, he was brutally beaten and then crucified as he became that perfect lamb sacrifice. Notice verse 16, it says, let us therefore, seeing then, verse 14 says, seeing that we have this great high priest, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We've got this great high priest. We've got this perfect example. Then go boldly before the throne of God, just the way Jesus Christ did. Go boldly. If you do that, then you're going to stir up the gift of God, and you're going to be empowered by the Spirit of God. Just like Jesus Christ was throughout his earthly ministry. I'll conclude here with a few emails of feedback. One viewer says, absolutely fantastic shows. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Short and succinct, just like the email encouraging Mr. Palmer over in the Ed Stone office. Another one here says, thank you for your Bible studies at the end of the program. I wonder sometimes if COVID is a part of God's judgment of sin. Even though people like Fauci, Obama, and the Wuhan virus tamperers are involved, I think we're dealing with spiritual wickedness in high places. You can read about that over in Ephesians 6. And he's right. We're definitely We're definitely contending or dealing with wickedness in high places. It says our governor here in Minnesota says before you gather at Christmas, make sure you're vaccinated and tested. Like you say, we can't make this stuff up. The COVID train wreck continues into year number 3. What a day that will be when Jesus returns and COVID is gone forever. Another one here says, thank you for your attitude and boldness while fearlessly presenting the plain and should be obvious truth about God's ridiculous, about today's, I shouldn't say God, today's, God's right on the line beneath. I'll get to that. It says, the truth about today's ridiculous, insane, preposterous, sad state of this present evil world. Thank God for his inspiration, allowing us to be able to see through the clear as mud logic of the people who are in charge of our well-being. What a spectacle. Another viewer says, it always amazes me that your Bible study is the very same thing the Father has been talking to me about. This happens often, and with your Father's Key of David program as well. It's the Eternal telling me, it's all right that you're isolated. I'm still there with you, leading you, training you. That's right. God still is with us by the power of his Spirit. He can be with you, even if you're in an isolated and remote location, receiving the same instruction a lot of times that this man's going through with his morning Bible study. God does that a lot, doesn't he? Yes, indeed. He has a way of just tailor-making it for each of us individually. It says here, I was going to write in and say that the montage at the beginning of Tuesday's program was excellent in showing the thread of events and that there was intent all along. But then the second half of the program absolutely stole the show. Thank you. That was the segment at the end of Thursday. Tuesday, I should say, on stirring up the Spirit of God. This one comes from Australia. It says, just wanted to tell you again how much I really look forward to the Trumpet Daily every weekday, especially the Bible study segments. But really, TD is the only real news available anywhere. I also really appreciate how you keep everyone up to date with all the crazy mandates and lockdowns here in my country of Australia. Another one here says, just want to drop you a line about how I look forward to watching your show. You're one of the last shows that tell the truth. I have also enrolled in the Bible Correspondence course. I want to get to know the Lord Jesus better so I can become a true Christian. I also watch your dad on Sundays. Thank you for the literature you send. You are a godsend to me. Another one here writes, I love the way you tell it like it is. You're honest about your reporting and you're right about the Democrats. Well, as you well know, if you've followed this program for very long, it's really not about one political party over another. The problem is, as Isaiah 1 says, it's a sickness that goes head to toe from the top of our heads, spiritually speaking, all the way to the tiny toe. Another one here says, every time I watch the Trumpet Daily, I really can't tell you how much I'm impressed with your reporting of the facts. A little audio there. The Dems have swept the rigged election recount under the rug, along with Afghanistan, city riots, and not to mention all those allies we left behind with all that expensive hardware. Build Afghanistan back better, he says. Keep telling the truth, even though we're embarrassed by it and it sometimes hurts. Well, that's all that we have time for. If you'd like to email the program, you can send us a note, td@thetrumpet.com. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is The Trumpet Daily, and we'll see you tomorrow.